All right, before I preach this morning on who and what is a biblical deacon, and the reason I'm doing this is because we're living in a day where people just don't know, and they need to have an understanding. But let me read this story to you, if you'll allow me to, real quick. Listen to the story. I'll try to read it quick. His name was Bill. He had wild hair sticking out from under a ball cap, wears a T-shirt with holes in it, jeans, and no shoes. This was literally his wardrobe for his entire 4 years of college. He is kind of esoteric and very, very bright. He became a Christian while attending college. Across from the street from the campus is a church, the members of which are well-dressed and very conservative. They want to develop a ministry to the students, but are not sure how to go about it. One day, Bill decides to visit that church. He walks in wearing his jeans, T-shirts with holes, wild hair, and no shoes, and starts down the center aisle looking for a place to sit. The church is completely packed in the back, must have been a Baptist, so he had to find a seat up front. The members look a bit uncomfortable, but no one says anything. Bill gets closer and closer to the pulpit. When he realizes that there's no seats left, he just sits down on the carpet. By now, the members are really uptight. Tension fills the air. Then from the back of the church, a deacon slowly makes his way toward Bill. Now in his 80s, the deacon has silver gray hair, a three-piece suit, a pocket watch, and he's a godly man, very eloquent, very dignified, very courtly. He walks with a cane, and as he heads toward Bill, all the members are saying to themselves, you can't blame him for what he's going to do. How can you expect a man of his age and background to understand a college kid on the floor? It takes a long time for the deacon gets down to the aisle. All eyes are focused on him. The church is utterly silent. The minister can't even begin preaching until the deacon does what he has to do. And when he reaches the front, the congregation watches as he, with great difficulty, lowers himself and sits down next to Bill so he won't be sitting alone. When the minister gains control of himself, he says, what I'm about to preach, you will never remember. But what you've seen, you'll never forget. Amen. And you know, I do think that's what a deacon is. A deacon is all about a servant. And what is a servant's heart? A servant leader. So take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6. And I know you've read this scripture and you've heard it before, but we're going to study it today, maybe in a way you've never heard, because I really believe there's a lot of misconceptions, and even among deacons themselves sometimes, they don't understand their calling, and so that's why I've worded this. Who and what is a biblical deacon? Who is qualified, and what is his responsibility, his role and his responsibility? Let's all stand in reverence the reading of God's holy, infallible, inspired word. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8. Likewise, and let me just say something about that word. He just got through talking about the qualifications of a pastor. And so I believe that this calling, in fact, there's only two people in Scripture that are called or who are ordained, and that's a pastor and a deacon. So that's why he uses the word likewise. Must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, and not given to much wine, and greedy, not greedy of filthy lucre, talking about money, holding the mystery of the faith in pure conscience. And let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderous, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For they, and listen to this, deacons, this is the reward here, this is the encouragement. For they that have used the office of a deacon will purchase to themselves a good degree and a great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. And we'll read Acts 6:3 when you're seated. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that your word is absolute truth. And we're here today to study the biblical meaning of a deacon. I pray your Holy Spirit now would meet with us and teach us all things. I pray for the Holy Spirit's anointing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, Acts 6:3, and you know, I had a guy tell me years ago, he says, you know, Acts is not about deacons. Well, if it's not about deacons, I don't know what it's about. But Acts 6:3 says, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. You know, I've been thinking a lot about our worship services, and of course I'm thinking about the deacon nomination and all that. We want the worship services to flow. We want the church to be able to work together for the glory of God. Look up here, folks. What I just read is the answer. It's called the Holy Spirit. The service cannot flow without the Holy Spirit. This church can't function without the Holy Spirit. I have been in churches that they may not have had everything, they didn't have every I dotted and every T crossed, but they were Spirit-filled people. And to me, I'd rather have people full of the Spirit than to have every I dotted and every T crossed. We need a Holy Spirit church. And so the nomination of deacons started with meeting a need of ministry, period. That was it. To meet a need. Widows were being neglected. There was a need in the church, and yet we've taken it much further than what Scripture says. And yet the Bible makes it clear. The Bible makes it extra clear. When these men were appointed and they were set apart by the laying on of hands, the church flourished. The preacher flourished because they did it God's way. And when you do God's work God's way, it works. Hello? When you do God's work, God's way, it works. Now, the nomination of deacons started with a meeting, meeting a need of ministry, not to run the church. It was about women, seniors, and food. That's a tall order. I mean, the widows were being, these were seniors. They were widows, they were women, and they were being elected. They were not receiving the daily administration of food. That's a tall order. Our perspective is about like the guy complaining about his packed lunch. He was all upset because for 4 days straight, he was eating bologna sandwiches. And I mean, he sounded off to his buddy. He said, man, I can't believe this. 4 straight days of bologna sandwich. If I eat another bologna sandwich, I'm going to turn into a piece of bologna. I'm sick of bologna. I don't want no more bologna. I'm fed up with this junk. And man, his buddy said, man, just chill out. Take a pill or something. It's going to be all right. Here's my counsel. Just sit down with your wife and talk to her and let her know that you don't want any more bologna sandwiches. Just lovingly talk with your wife. The man with the bologna sandwich said, leave my wife out of it. I pack my own lunches. Now, I say that to say this, and this is profound, so you might want to even write it down. Most of the bologna you have in your life is because you packed it. Amen. The Lord told me to just stop for a minute, let you swallow that. Because most of the bologna that you have in your life is because you packed it. Most of the bologna you have in your life, you packed it. Quit playing the blame game. You put it in there, so don't blame anyone else. I say that to say this, and I hope nobody takes it wrong. There's a lot of things, when it comes to deacons, it's nothing but baloney. Because it's not biblical. It's not the way God designed it. It is not His ministry. It is not His plan. So we best get back to the biblical plan. So in order to get to the biblical plan, I got to tell you what a deacon is not. What deacons are not. All right, number one. Deacons don't run the church. The Bible makes it very clear. God runs His church. God is in control. We're to be a Spirit-led people, not deacon-led, but Spirit-led. Deacons don't run the church. Number two, deacons don't boss the pastor or the staff. I've never thought in my ministry, at least, that any deacon was my boss. I know who hired me. I know who called me. And the way I look at it is this. If I run into a church, and I run into a church that deacons feel like they're the boss of me, I know that's not the church God's called me to be in. Because deacons are not my boss. God is my boss. He's the one who called me. He's the one who's always taking care of me. And I've never been intimidated. But there are many churches that are run by deacons, and the deacons look at it as they're the boss of the church and over the pastor and the staff. Number three, deacons are not a board of directors. No more than a pastor is a CEO, and are they a board? I hate the word board. It's not biblical. It should never be in a church constitution. And by the way, it's not in ours. Deacons are a body. And the reason I say that, because the biblical words are this: shepherd and servants. And that affects all of us. If I see myself as a CEO, then I own this and I'm over it and I'm the boss here, and the deacons are the board of directors. But I don't see myself as the CEO. If there's any commander in chief, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the head of the church, not me. And that affects all of us. You understand? Some people say, "Pastor, you're the boss." No, I'm not the boss. I know who the boss is. There's only one head of the church, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Shepherds and servants come from biblical teaching. CEO and board come from worldly thinking. That's a bunch of baloney. Are y'all following me? You say, "Preacher, how is this going to affect me?" Because this is the way it works. As we do ministry the way God designed it, will we all receive God's blessings and favor? All of us will be blessed. Just as a man who stands up in his home and says, "For me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." When a husband and a father takes a stand in his home, the wife is blessed. God honors that. He shows his favor upon that wife, upon those children. But when the wife is running things and she's running the husband and running the children, that's not God's order. No? Say, "Well, preacher, I don't like you no more. You don't think women are important." Oh, I think women are very important. If it weren't for women, I wouldn't be here. Thank God for my mother. Amen. Thank God for my wife. But God has a divine order. Deacons are not board members, okay? I don't think I need to say that again. Deacons don't exist just to enjoy fellowship. They don't just, I'll be honest with you, serving a deacon is a lot of work. It's not easy. So don't get the idea that this is just to enjoy a bunch of fellowship. So what are deacons? Who is qualified? And what is their responsibilities? We're going to deal with that. But here's something I want to give you. One more thing I want you to write down. Deacons have God-ordained biblical roles. Okay? Deacons have God-ordained biblical roles. You serve under the leadership of the pastor at the goodwill of the congregation by the grace of God. This morning, I am speaking from a biblical and divine viewpoint. And if I hold the standard high, it's because God so exalts it. So I'm going to preach what the Bible says a deacon is. And we've got to follow what the Bible says. More important than anything of the baloney that people think, and that's what it is, it's a bunch of baloney, because it don't matter what people think, it's what God says. What I think don't matter. My opinion don't matter. I'm not here today to give my opinion. I'm here to preach the Word of God. All right, number one, a biblical deacon must be saved. You say, "Preacher, that's given." Not necessarily. I have seen this happen in churches where people nominated and elected a man who was lost. It happens. I personally believe Satan does everything he can to make this happen. Because this is how a lot of the world is getting into our churches. I hope you follow my thinking. Y'all still with me? Say amen. Amen. I want you to listen to this. Because a lot of the world is coming into the church, and we're doing things more worldly than ever before in the church. And I'll tell you how this happens. The devil plants people in leadership who can only think worldly thoughts and worldly ways because they're of the world. Okay? A lost person acts like a lost person. I pastored a church. A man by the name of Jackie Polson was asked to serve as a deacon. I asked Jack, I said, "Jack, would you share with me your testimony?" Crocodile tears running down his face. "Pastor, I don't have a testimony." I said, "Jack, why do you want to be a deacon?" He said, "Pastor, I want to be a good man." I said, "Jack, would you like to become God's man?" He said, "I sure would, Pastor." Led that man to Jesus. You know why he was nominated and elected as a deacon? Because he was popular. He was a good man. He was a good man. I liked him too. Everybody liked Jack. Everybody got along with Jack. He'd been in church all of his life, but he wasn't saved. I'll never forget the following Sunday, I led him to the Lord. He walked the aisle. Here's what he said to the church: "I profess Jesus Christ today as my Lord and Savior. I really don't understand what a deacon is, but if you want me to be a deacon still, at least I'll be a saved deacon." I said, "That will work." You know what? You can be a member of a church, and that's, you know, we have a 3-year stand here. You have to be a member of the church, but you could be a member of the church and be lost. Okay, that's why the Bible says you've got to prove yourself. I think the people of God, that's why I emphasize it's all about prayer. It's not about popularity. It's not about politics. It's about someone who prayed and sought God, and God showed them in prayer. That person is a child of God. The Bible says your spirit will bear witness one another. There must be a relationship to the Savior. There must be. The church was commanded to look ye out from among you. That is, the man that they chose was to be saved man exclusively. Many churches have paid a terrible price for elevating unsaved men to positions of leadership in the church. We don't need religious deacons. We need deacons with a relationship with Jesus Christ. Second of all, there must be a recognition by the saints. Acts 6:3, I've read it. The saints were to choose. How? In prayers, I've already said. And in verse 6, they were to prayerfully take men from among their own number. Men that had they had observed, they had trusted, men of honor and of respect. This corresponds to a portion of the requirement of deacons in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. They must be, this is done by the body of the church. And I want to stop here and say this. And by the way, I love you and I'm here to preach the truth to you today. But folks, let me tell you something. Don't nominate a deacon you're not going to pray and stand behind. Don't waste your time and don't waste his time. Don't nominate somebody that you don't support. But unto God, if you nominate the person and if you vote for them, stand behind them. Amen? We must recognize these as men of God who are standing for the Word of God. And we need that kind of leadership. A biblical deacon must be saved because of a relationship, because of recognition of the saints. And then this is, to me, one of the most important things. There must be a release of the Spirit. There must be a release of God's Holy Spirit on this man. They were to be full of the Holy Ghost, the Bible says. That is, they were men who were fulfilling the command of Ephesians 5:18. The word full means this in the Greek, thoroughly permeated with full, complete, lacking nothing, perfect. You say, wait a minute, preacher, there's not a man in our church perfect. I didn't say anything about a man being perfect. The Holy Spirit's perfect. And when that man is full of the Holy Spirit, he's got the perfect power of God dwelling in him. It carries the idea of being controlled by the Spirit. Too many times, and this is because deacons have not been taught, churches have not been taught, we think there's a control in the church. And there's a control oftentimes by individuals or men who want to be in control. That's the wrong kind of deacon. The right kind of deacon is the deacon who's controlled, yes, by the Holy Spirit, not a man who feels like he's got to be in control. There's just some men, they're driven because they've got to be in control. They've got to have the say-so. And he's disqualified himself. There must be a man who is filled with the Spirit. And the word being filled with the Spirit means to be controlled by the Spirit. Oh, it's easy to be controlled by the world, the flesh, and the devil. A lot of us are. Yeah. It's easy. All you got to do is nothing. It comes natural. Some of you are mad this morning. I can look at you. You don't look happy. You know what that is? Old flesh. Just trying to keep you miserable. Hello, am I hitting the button? Yeah, it's easy to get down. It's easy to get discouraged. Been there and done that. But will you let the Holy Spirit control you? Or are you going to let your flesh control you? I'll tell you this. Where the Holy Spirit is, there is liberty. Where the Holy Spirit is, there is joy. Amen. All this down and out, discouragement stuff, it happens because we're in control instead of God being in control. You see, this sermon needs to relate to where you are too. Who's fixing your bologna sandwiches? Number two, a biblical deacon must be a servant. Now, deacons were chosen to be servants to the church. In fact, the word deacon comes from the word is diakonos. It means servant, helper. Here's the literal meaning in the Greek, kicking up of dust to wait on tables. In other words, the real meaning of servant here means you do what you do with great joy and excitement. So much so, you're dancing. You're kicking up the dust to serve the Lord's table. You're kicking up the dust to serve others, to take care of the widows. There ought to be a joy in ministry. There ought to be an excitement. I'll tell you what robs us of our joy when sin enters our lives or sin enters the church. Amen. It'll rob you of the joy. It'll rob you of the joy of ministry. We're to serve the Father. That is our loyalty. That's where our faithfulness must be. Notice he says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8, when we take the time to look at the qualifications of 1 Timothy 3, it becomes easy to see that deacons are expected to live godly, separate lives. You are to be an obedient, surrendered servant to God the Father because you are in a relationship. You look to the Father. You trust the Father. You believe the Father to lead you as you lead others. Let's break it down, what it is to serve the Lord under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Number one, he uses the word in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Look at verse 8. The word is grave. Let's break this down. Men who are serious about their responsibility, men who are worthy of respect, men who live lives worthy of imitating, they don't play church. They don't play with the things of God. They don't talk about the bride of Christ. Are y'all listening to me? You want to get under my skin and you want to make me mad, and you can make me mad. You start talking about my wife, that makes me mad. I'll take you out back. Don't mess with my bride. We need deacons and we also need a pastor that don't let people talk about the bride of Christ. Really, that's the second thing I want to talk about. He, in serving this Father, we're to be serious about ministry. We're not playing games here. We're not playing church. Don't talk about my bride, Jesus said. Amen. The bride is Christ, the church. He's the groom. We're the bride. Don't talk about my bride. Being grave. And the next word I want to talk about is the word gossip here. Verse 8, not double tongue. There's a threefold part of this. Number one, not a gossip. I said this last or tonight, I believe. Gossip is what the world does. Gospel is what the Word of God does. Are we preaching the Word? Then it's the gospel. Are we preaching the gossip? I'm telling you something that is killing every church today is that little word, gossip. Now, the gospel brings life. The gospel brings hope. The gossip will destroy a church. And I'm going to be honest with you. Most people are guilty of it. Yeah, they are. When you say something, you repeat, and this is my experience as a pastor, most people repeat things that they have no idea what they're talking about. They don't know what they're talking about. I tell you what, I'm up to here as a pastor. I am. I've about had all I can take of it, and I'm taking a stand. I am. Because when I hear gossip, I'm coming after that person. I've just made up my mind. I'm going to go to people. And I'm going to say to you, okay, did you say this? Because I believe that gossip is destroying a lot of lives. It's destroying people. And when you talk about something you don't know what you're talking about, you best keep your mouth shut. You would be better off. Deacons need to know how to keep their mouth shut. I don't trust a deacon who says what was discussed in a deacon's meeting and goes home and tells his wife, I don't trust that man. I don't trust the deacon that goes out and talks in the church, because there are certain things that we have to deal with as a deacon body, as a pastor, that we're praying for, and we're not here to hurt people. We're here to help people. Are y'all listening to me? And it hurts people when we go out and say things that they're going through. And by the way, the church will never trust a pastor or trust the deacon if you don't keep things confidential. I got children in my new members class this morning. I didn't know what this meant. But this little fellow said, Pastor Ronnie, I want to tell you something. Put your little pinky up. And he said, now this is just between me and you. He did that to me this morning. He said, now if you tell anybody, I could get a spanking. I told him, I said, I will never breathe it. Now that little fellow confided in me. And if I ever break that, I've lost his trust. Yeah, even though he's just a little child. And he knows I'm serious, because when he went out the door, I put up my little finger like that. He came all the way over behind the desk and he grabbed my little finger and we shook it. I'm going to tell you something. When people trust you to do ministry, you ought to be trustworthy. And you ought to be the kind of person that keeps things in prayer. And by the way, church, if we'll take it to the throne like we take it to the phone, revival would happen in the church. If we come to God, because listen to me, church, God is the only answer to the problem. Amen. We think we've got all the answers, and sometimes I've seen this. I've seen it happen with pastors. I've seen it happen with deacons and church leaders where we think, well, somebody's trusted me. That makes me somebody. No, you are His. You don't belong. You're a son, a daughter of the Father. He's trusted you. Now act like a son, a daughter. Act like a person who can represent the Father well. Gossip is dangerous. It destroys. I heard about these three deacons. They thought, well, we ought to be able to talk to each other and confide in each other. So the first deacon spoke up. He said, I'm just going to be honest with you. I need y'all to pray for me. I have a gambling problem. I need your prayers. The second deacon said, well, I've been drinking some to forget about my problems and my troubles, and I know I'm not the deacon I need to be. I've got a little bit of a problem. I'll take a drink once in a while. The third one said, well, confession is good for the soul, and I must confess I have a serious problem with gossip, and I can't wait to get out of here. God help us. I'm going to say it one more time. I keep this in my mind. You're here to help people, not to hurt people. A third of all, greed. Greedy. Not greedy, a filthy lucre. Not tight-fisted or a tightwad, but a tither in obedience to the Word of God. I do not believe a man should be nominated or elected as a deacon who's not a tither. Because he's a hypocrite. He is. He's saying that he's trusting God, but he's robbing God. And that's what you're doing. Someone asked me this week, Pastor Ronnie, how many people in our church tithe? I said, probably less than half. It's probably true. I don't know. I honestly do not know what anybody does here. I don't ever stick my nose in anybody's business. I just know that I tithe and know Sherry tithes. But you know what? Whether you tithe or not is your business. And you'll have to answer to God for it, not me. Okay? But I am going to ask the deacons. I am. I'm going to say, are you a tither? Because if they're not, then they're a thief. They are. They're stealing for what? You say, well, now, wait a minute, preacher. I work for it. It's all mine. Listen very closely to this. Everything that you own belongs to God. And when you understand that, God will bless you. Because you'll understand that you're just a steward. You're just a manager. You don't own anything. In fact, you don't even own you. God owns you. Every breath that you breathe comes from Him. And everything He's trusted you with is His. It's not yours. It's how you manage it determines how much more God will bless you. And if you can't manage 10%, God can't bless you with 90% more. Hello? Amen. So manage the 10%. Give it back to God. It's already His in Him. And then grounded. That's in verse 9. Holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. Men who are men of the Word of God, who are well grounded in the fundamental truths of God's Word. We need more men who are in the Word of God, and the Word of God is in them, where the Word becomes flesh. Men who are more concerned with what the Bible says than more than what men say. You know, I told the children this morning, I said, don't ever give in to peer pressure. It don't matter what your friends think. It matters what God thinks. Amen. Learn to say no to your friends. Deacons, learn to say no to the church if it's not biblical. Yeah, I've had to do that. It's not popular. Oh, I've been unpopular many times for standing on the Word of God. But I'll tell you this, I know this preacher has to give an account to God one day, and I'll never have to stand before a deacon or a church to give an account to God. I'll have to stand before God. And so will you. You're sitting there today thinking, well, preacher, you know, you're talking about deacons. I'm off the hook. Oh, no. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord of all. Amen. Is He your Father? Is He in control of your life? All right, and then we're to be godly. It says, not only grounded, but we're to be godly. Verse 10, let them be proved, examined as to their qualifications, and they're to be proved. That's why the church did put in place a 3-year time period so that we could watch people's lives. And we don't know anyone's heart. We don't, but all we can do is let them be proved. It takes time. You say, well, why do we make exceptions sometimes, preacher? Well, we've done that recently For example, with Ganesh and Matt, last year, we voted that we would allow them to be considered as deacons because they came from another church that they had served many years as a deacon. And so that's different, okay? And there are times where you might find a man who's really mature in his faith, he's really grown in the Lord, and he served God, and the church sees that, and they want to see him serve as a deacon. But the qualification is what I'm dealing with today, that he's a godly man. That's what it comes down to. That's more important than quantity. It's the quality of his life, okay? Let them be proved. And then to glorify God, verse 10, let them use the office. Too many deacons, too many men merely fill the office. God says use it. The office of deacon is something that is to be used for the glory of God and not for men's glory. It's not about me. I've prayed with our deacons and I've heard them pray, God, we give you the glory. It can't be about the deacons. It's got to be about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then a godly partner. I got to give you this because this is left out oftentimes in teaching that the Bible says the wives must be great. That they're to be serious-minded. They're not to be slanderers. They're not to go out here and talk and gossip. They're to be sober, faithful in all things. There is a qualification that if the deacon's wife can't keep her mouth shut about things, then that man is disqualified. Yeah. So if you've got a woman who is slanderous in the way she talks and what she does, and it does affect her husband, therefore he is disqualified because of his wife. It can cause great harm in the church if a deacon's wife is evil-spirited or long-tongued. According to the qualifications of a deacon's wife, she's to be faithful in all things, grave, not slanderer, and sober. And then the word generations. They all started with G. Verse 12, in control of their home. Not a dictator, but one who has earned the love and respect of their family. The deacons must be a family man. I'm going to say it again. The deacon must be a family man. He's to be faithful to his wife, and he is to treat his children with love and respect. You know, it starts at home, don't it, church? Hello? Yeah. If we can't take care of our own homes, how can we help take care of God's house and God's people? And that's what the Bible says. You say, boy, that's you're preaching something that's almost impossible. Not with God as your father. Now, if you're saved, you've been changed. You've been born again, you've got a father, you've got a relationship, and God's there to help you. And he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I got to give you this real quick. He is to serve the faithful. That is, the deacon is to be a servant of both the pastor and the people. The pastor needs the deacons of the church to aid him in ministry. One man cannot do it all, and he shouldn't be expected to do so. That is one of the problems in the churches. When the pastor does it all, then he's no good for nobody. Hello, are y'all with me? When the deacons were appointed and they were ordained, guess what happened? The ministry of the apostles flourished. In other words, they had more time to give in prayer and Bible study. I've been in church for the last 5 nights straight. So I started Saturday night. We went up to UNC. So church every night since Saturday night. Sunday night I was here at church. Monday night's visitation. Tuesday night's deacons meeting. Wednesday night was church. Thursday night was the vision team up at Village Church. I'll be honest with you. I'm about burned out with it. Too much church, not enough God. And here's your preacher crying out to you. If I don't get some help, I don't think I'm going to make it. I need more time along with God. And if I'll be honest with you. So Friday, I take off. So Friday, I stayed home and studied. Because it's the only day I was able to study the whole week was Friday. And then Saturday to wrap it up. Without the church being the church, I can't, you know, and I'll tell you, I'm amazed how much is expected of a pastor. People want you to do everything and be everywhere, and you're only one person. You know, I've got 3 people having surgery this week. Had, what, 2 last week? I forget. Anyway, it's always a busy life. I know that. I've been doing it for a long time. I know how it works. But without help, you can't do it. That's why I'm preaching this today. I need deacons. I need them. I need their faithfulness. And by the way, you can't be a deacon to me and you can't be a deacon to these people if you're never here. Hello? Amen. I've seen that problem, that deacons make a decision. Well, I'm going to go out here and do this thing. I'm going to go out and... No. Then don't accept the nomination. Don't accept the election. If you can't be faithful to serve as a deacon, if you have other priorities, just don't agree to do it. Amen. Just don't waste your time, because you can't be effective. You got to be here to do it. That's the bottom line. And then he is to serve the fallen. There's a lot of people out there hurting. The deacons had the duty to take care of the widows in the New Testament, to take care of those. The Bible says a woman without a husband needs someone to help her. And that's what deacons do. And I think our deacons are there and they help the widows. I've seen them do it. And so it's important that we do that. Why is all this so important, church? Because that will cause God to show his favor and his blessing on this ministry. And then third of all, and I'm trying to wrap this up, a biblical deacon must be a soldier. We got a lot of good soldiers here. I love this scripture, soldiers. If you're in the military, you ought to write this down. This is a great verse. 2 Timothy 2:3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Listen carefully. The higher the level, the bigger the devil. Yeah, for every level of spiritual responsibility comes another devil. Oh, yeah, I know. When you're on the front lines of ministry, and usually it's the pastor and the deacons, sometimes I look at the deacons and sometimes they look at me, and I know what we're all thinking. Is it worth it? I mean, you're dealing with things. Ministry is messy because people are messy. It's hard. It's hard to listen to complaint week after week after week after week. I ask myself, why would anybody want to be a deacon? And then I ask myself, why would I even want to be a pastor? Well, can I give you the answer? And one of our deacons said it very well on a Monday night about 3 months ago, because I've been thinking about it ever since he said it. He said, I didn't want to be here tonight. I'll be honest with you guys. I didn't want to be on visitation. I wanted to stay home. But I thought about what Jesus did for me, and I'm here. Amen. That's why I want to be faithful. And I believe that's why our deacons want to be faithful. Because I really believe what motivates us is the cross of Christ. Amen. Jesus went to Calvary. He paid a debt and he suffered for us. And I ask myself often, well, why am I whining and complaining about suffering for the cause of Christ? And you will suffer. And by the way, look up here, church. You need to hear more about this, because if you really are taking a stand for God, you're going to pay dearly in these last days. We need to, hey, we're not called to be wimps. We're called to be warriors. Deacons need to understand this. This is important, church. We're not in a debate. We're in a war. We're called to be soldiers. He says there to be approved. Let these also be approved. Let them be proved. Only God can qualify a man to be a deacon. Listen very carefully. A deacon is to be called of God. God, the commander-in-chief, is the one who calls to service. He is to be anointed, full of the Holy Ghost. We've already mentioned this once. I'm doing it twice because I was taught in seminary. If you want to make a good point, make it twice. So here it is. Mere man cannot meet the qualifications of a biblical deacon. You are still fleshly, the Bible says, for since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? And are you not walking like mere man? Acts 6:6 says, and when they prayed, they laid their hands on them. The origin of anointing was from a practice of shepherds. Lice and other insects would often get into the wool of sheep, and when they got near the sheep's ear, they could burrow into the sheep's ear and kill the sheep. So the ancient shepherd poured oil on the sheep's head, and this made the wool slippery, making it impossible for insects to get near the sheep's ears, because the insects would slide off. And from this anointing became a symbolism of blessing, protection, and empowerment. The New Testament Greek word for anoint means to smear or rub with oil, and by implication, to consecrate for office or religious service, which means to anoint. In Bible times, people were anointed with oil to signify God's blessing or call on that person's the call on their life. A person was anointed for a special purpose, to be a king, to be a prophet, to be a builder. Another meaning for the word anointing is chosen one. So my point is this: without the anointing of God in your life, you can't be a deacon. So number one, you're approved. Number two, you're anointed. Number three, you're appointed. Divine appointment. That's what it is. What is the business that the apostles were talking about in Acts 3? And I'm afraid this is a bunch of baloney. that somehow in the minds of people, they read the word business and said, all right, the deacons take care of the business of the church. That's not what that means there. You know what it means? Ministry. That's what it means. The business was ministry. The widows were being neglected. There was a need in the church. The business of doing ministry, serving tables in particular, serving widows in person who were being neglected in daily ministration. The deacon's business or calling is ministry. And then last, and I wanted to say this because this is burning on my heart and my soul, and I know if this one takes place just in our deacons and myself, I believe it'll spill out over this whole church. A biblical deacon must be a soul winner. He must be a soul winner. The Bible says in verse 13, in great boldness in the faith, which is increased in Christ Jesus. It's interesting that when the early church appointed the first deacons, the church experienced the greatest blessing of spiritual soundness and growth. 3,000 souls were added to the church because these men were being used of God. Above all, deacons are to be proclaimers of the gospel. They're to proclaim the gospel. Every deacon must know how to win souls. You say, Preacher Ronnie, I've never been trained. I have no education. Can I pick on Ray for a moment? Mike was in the hospital, and Ray, who does, I don't know if Ray's ever had any training for soul winning, but he led a lady to Christ right there in Mike's classroom. Probably felt like a classroom in his hospital room. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. You know why Ray did that? Just the overflow of his heart. Ray can't stop it. He's got a disease. Did y'all know that? Yeah, he's contagious. Yeah, he's got a overflow that he's got to tell everybody about Jesus. And I only use that to say this: all of us have it. We do. I mean, we talk about weather, we talk about other things, we talk about anything and everything. But why not talk about the one who saved you? And by the way, I only use Ray for example because I know Ray probably hadn't had no training in soul winning. But you know what? Jesus said, "Follow me, and I'll make you a fisher of men." That's all that's required. You just tell others about Jesus. How does it work, preacher? Well, number one, the word Lord, and I capitalized it. Number one reason for being a soul winner is because the Lord, master, ruler, and operator of your life, has commanded it. And when he gave us the Great Commission, it was not the great suggestion. Nowhere in Scripture does it say we are to lord over the church or the pastor or the deacons. There's only one Lord, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. So I capitalized that word. I want you to understand something. There's only one Lord. And I'm not the Lord of this church. And the deacons are not the Lord of this church. There's only one Lord, and the Lord Jesus Christ has commanded us to go ye therefore into the highways and hedges and compel the lost to come in. You said, Preacher Ronnie, are you for building the Family Life Center? Yes, if it's for winning the lost. That's what it's all about. You know, people get hung up with a bunch of baloney. We can do it this way. We can do it what? Oh, we can do it 1,000 different ways, but will it result in souls saved? That always needs to be the question. Are we leading people to Christ? And then second of all, light. Jesus said, you're the light of the world. A candle is not to be hid under a bushel, but placed on a candlestick that all may see. And then last is love. And I'm going to tell you something about this word. It's powerful. Love the loss to Jesus. Because I'm telling you, the greatest influence in the church and in the community is that little word. Everybody say it with me. Love. I've learned this. When I came here, they had a thing on leadership on the bulletin board out there in the hall. And they had all these words describing leadership. And I told the secretary, I said, you left out the most important word. She said, what's that, Pastor? I'd been here 1 week. I said, I want you to put the word love up there. Because if you don't love God, and if you don't love people, you won't witness to them. But if you love God, if he is Lord of your life, that light resonates in your heart, you're going to love people enough to tell them about Jesus. People are dying and going to hell. Someone here today needs to hear the hope that's in Jesus Christ. You say, you've been talking about deacons. I've been talking about the importance of us doing what this Bible says. And the Bible says, go ye therefore into all nations. And we're to disciple people and teach them the Word of God. How do we do it? You can't disciple someone until they get saved. Did you know that? You can't disciple a lost person. You disciple a saved person. We need to lead them to Jesus. Love God, love people, share Jesus, make disciples. I think if there's a mission statement, that ought to be it. You want to write that down, deacons? Maybe we ought to have a deacons meeting and discuss this. If our deacons have a mission statement, It should be this: love God, love people, share Jesus, make disciples. And if we do that, God will come down and reign here. I want to ask you something as I close today, and I'm done. Do you want God to be in this church? You want God to bless this church? Then do it God's way. It's a bunch of baloney if we don't. It is. It's just a bunch. You know what baloney is, don't you?
Yeah.
What is it? I'll leave it to your imagination. All the leftovers. I don't want the junk of life. Do you? I'm going to go to lunch. I'd like to have my steak well done, thank you, or medium rare. How do I want, like my steak? Medium well, yeah. I know some of you like it raw. But I'm going to ask you something. What kind of church do you want to be? You want to be a biblical church? Or do you just want to be a worldly church? A worldly church talks about deacon boards, and they miss the whole concept of ministry. Pastor's not a CEO. Deacons are not a board. Shepherd, servants. That's biblical. If you believe that, would you stand? Shepherds and servants. Let's stand on God's word. That's what the Bible teaches. Shepherds, say it with me. Shepherds and servants. And what are they supposed to do? Look after the sheep. I stood in this pulpit a little over 4.5 years ago. There was not an empty seat in this church. It was packed, I mean packed. I remember standing right here. Jack Smith was here. He was, I guess, chairman of deacons. Anyway, I didn't know who was why. I didn't know anybody here. Didn't know one soul. We came in here and Jack said, "Pastor, the church has voted 100% to call you as pastor. What do you say?" I didn't know what to say. I didn't know it was going to be put on me that quick. I leaned over to Sherry, and here's exactly what I said. "Are we going here? Are we coming here?" She said, "Yeah." So I said, "Yeah," to him. And as soon as I said yes, I did something I've never done in my life. I really believe this was the Holy Spirit. I came to this pulpit, and I said to this mass group of people, church was full. "Now, I'm going to give you an opportunity to take your vote back." I said that. Remember it? Yeah. "Are you going to allow me to be your pastor? Are you going to stand behind me as your pastor? Will you allow me to be the pastor of this church?" And you know what? We voted again, and it was 100%. Look up here, church, where it affects all of us. If you've got a pastor, listen to me carefully. If you've got a pastor who's trying to follow God and lead you, don't complain. Amen. Don't gossip. Don't gripe. If you don't like what the pastor does, take it to God. Amen. And I say this in love. And if you don't like the pastor, you take it to God enough. Amen. God has sent a church, and that pastor will go somewhere else. You just keep praying for him and say, "All right, God, we don't like this preacher, so we're," and I'm not trying to be funny here. You pray it through and say, "All right, now, God," and he'll get to be such a great preacher, another church will come along and want him. Yeah, so you really pray for him. But I say all that to say this. When it comes to deacons, don't nominate them if you haven't prayed about it. Amen. And don't elect them if you're going to talk about them and say, "I don't like these deacons." Look up here, church. Don't look so sad. You're the ones that selected them, not me. Amen. A lot of people say to me, "Your deacons." They're not my deacons. They're God's deacons. Amen. I haven't called one of these men. Not one of them, but I love them. I want you to look at me. When Mike Mason walked in today, I couldn't control myself because I really didn't know how much maybe I really do love Mike, because I prayed for him every single day. I have felt guilty for not going to see him because I knew that he didn't need to be around people, but he shows up here today. Is he still here? Oh, he's there. Okay. I love you, Mike, and I love these deacons. And I want us to be that kind of church. Do we love God? Do we love people enough to tell them about Jesus? Father, this is your invitation, and there may be someone here today that don't know Jesus. They're not saved. They need to know the love of God. I pray today that the Holy Spirit would do His work. I can't save anyone. I can't draw anybody to You, God, but Your Holy Spirit can. And so I've tried to be obedient today in preaching about what a biblical servant is. But God, I pray that Your Holy Spirit now would just do His office work of drawing men, women, boys, and girls to Yourself. I pray that there's one person who's never come forward that needs to come forward today. There may be some people here today that You're calling to be members of this church. They've prayed the sinner's prayer, but they've never made it public. They never came forward. God, You've yet to bless. You've yet to favor them because they've not taken that stand for You. It's something about taking that stand, God, that You show Your blessing and Your favor, because You said, if You're ashamed of Me before men, I'll be ashamed of You before My Heavenly Father. This is Your invitation. I pray in Jesus' name that this will be the invitation You want to give. Come just as you are. In Jesus' name, amen.